coal is in the press this week, and it's a sign the climate change debate is advancing. It's a really difficult problem for Australia to face, isn't it? None of us like doing it. We find it hard. It's a concern. We don't even want to think about it, really. It's just so hard. The debate has now moved to the stage of starting to analyse all the reasons why it would be really hard for Australia to change in relation to coal. Some of these are obviously excuses, but some are hard facts, and they all add up to tough stuff to work through. That's part of what we have to deal with, working through tough stuff sometimes. Here are some of the issues. Australia obviously earns most of its income from exporting black and red stuff, coal and iron ore. When we say Australia, what we really mean is we, you and I, earn most of our income from exporting coal and iron ore. How is this, I hear you ask? Well, let's have a think about it. Where does the money come from to pay public servants? Where does the money come from that ends up being spent in our local shops? Where does the money come from for pensions? Where does the profit come from to pay things like dividends on shares or superannuation? Work it all back through the layers. A big proportion of it starts off as money that Australia earns from its mineral exports, coal and iron. So that's the problem. None of us like it, but we're all starting to get the message that coal is one of the worst baddies for our planet's climate stability. When people talk about our grandchildren's future, what they really mean is, how can we give our grandkids a future when we're so dependent on coal for national income, but at exactly the same time, the carbon emissions from burning coal are one of the main drivers that are threatening the future? And so there's just no easy answers to this, but we are starting to grapple with it as a nation. No doubt it's going to be a long, slow process to try and work out what to do, but we're starting the journey. What would you and I do with less income from coal exports? Now, for one, I wouldn't mind if all of our power supplies were produced by sustainable methods like solar power, if that is possible. I'm no fan of big coal-fired power stations. I don't imagine you are either. They're a historical fact, but probably all of us would like it if we could suddenly magically transfer over to sustainable methods of generating power. But that's not really the problem, is it? It's a different thing from what we do for an income source. What would it be like to live without the income from coal? One of the things that happens is that countries sign reciprocal agreements. We buy your coal, you buy our consumer products. No country wants it to be a one-way deal, just buying our coal. They want us to buy their goods back. And because they're buying so much coal from us, they're keen to flood our markets and our homes with their consumer goods. So if we didn't sell so much coal, we'd probably have to be looking at a lot fewer imported goods for a start. Australia is the biggest exporter of coal in the whole world, with about 50-50 split between coking coal, which is the coal that's used as a raw material in steel mills, and thermal coal, which is burned in power stations. Our best quality black coking coal goes to the steel mills in Asia. 140 million tonnes a year of black thermal coal is exported from Queensland and Newcastle each year. It is close to the world's best coal because of its high energy content and low impurities. There is no alternative to using coking coal to make steel, and the world uses a lot of steel. We even wonder if our big customer countries like China would even let us cut exports at all. Some of us think it's unlikely. There are certainly no plans in that direction. In fact, exports of coking coal are forecast to increase by 70% by 2015 or 16 to 242 million tonnes. That's a huge increase. So at a time when the world's worrying about the carbon emissions from coal, in the next 3 to 4 years, we're looking at a 70% increase in the amount of coking coal that we export. And this, of course, will mean a big increase in revenue coming into Australia from $24.4 billion from $12 billion. A nice lot of money, you might think. But what these figures actually mean for us down here at the local level is much, much harder to say. It probably means a two-state economy. It doesn't mean that local people are getting richer. It might actually make local businesses have to struggle because they are competing for staff. They're competing on dollar value against the rich mining sector. A high Australian dollar is making it very hard indeed for small businesses in other sectors than mining. Thermal coal is another matter. Now, while it isn't irreplaceable for steel making, if Australia was to wind down exports of thermal coal at all, the arguments are that China would look to other countries for substitutes, like Indonesia, Mongolia, and Russia. The quality of their thermal coal is poorer, and it would drive up global coal prices. But the question is of whether it's possible to achieve any decreases in global carbon emissions this way is what is being argued about. It's important to have these arguments and debates and to really get right deep down into it and understand how we as a global community can achieve what has to be done. These are certainly very hard issues, but it is encouraging that they are being considered.